This is the Rebel Without Applause podcast with Khalid Salam.
Welcome to Rebel Without Applause. This is your host, Khalid Salam. Thank you for listening. Apologies for not being here to serve you in recent weeks. The holidays came and we took time off, and then that got really busy and took time off. And then we had a snowstorm last week, and that also messed things up. I needed to take that time off just because the city was kind of at a standstill. But that's that. I'm back now. In those few weeks where I didn't have an episode, a whole lot of stuff happened. Definitely going to talk about the election, because primary season is really, really here now. So that's just talking about what we expect to happen. It's actually here by the time you guys hear my voice, hear this episode. They'll be voting in Iowa. And so we'll talk about that. And we'll also discuss the Super Bowl. There's been a lot of games played since you guys heard me last. I'll chime in on that. Maybe not chime in on the topic of the week that we just had, with all the Cam Newton stuff. I don't know. I don't know how much I want to get into it, because I slightly don't care about it as much as everybody else. But we'll see how I feel when I really get into it. We'll see if the energy gets in my body. But anyway, Rebel Without Applause, and we'll be right back in a second.
You're listening to the Rebel Without Applause podcast with Khalid Salam. Shoulder sideways, smack it in the air. Let's move it side to side, smack it in the air. Let's move it side to side, smack it in the air.
All right, Rebel Without Applause. This is your host, Khalid Salam. And no, I have not decided who I'm voting for yet. I know who I'm not voting for, obviously, but who I'm voting for, it seems like it's only two options. I don't know if Michael Bloomberg will really get into the race or not. That was mentioned last week. But as far as I'm concerned right now, there's two options, HRC and your man Bernie Sanders. So on Tuesday, they have the Iowa primaries. And, things will get settled out. But here's my thing about Iowa. And I never understand why we have to be stuck in these stupid constricting thought process areas when it comes to these kinds of things. For instance, why in the hell is Iowa always the first state? I realize there are reasons why, and it's mandated a certain way. What I'm saying is, wouldn't it be better if every year, every voting cycle, we rotated a different state, right? Because, and then after Iowa comes New Hampshire again. Now maybe New Hampshire wouldn't be so bad if Iowa wasn't right in front of it. To me, those two states are just so, they don't represent anything that America looks like in 2016. And there are states that, for instance, Iowa, and no disrespect to anybody from Iowa listening, but also I don't care, to be honest. What are the other times when Iowa was in the news? When else is Iowa this important? It's too much responsibility to have too much influence in the electorate for a state that, to be honest, is not really here in a major way to do other things outside of this. Outside of every 4 years having it for its primary, when else is Iowa so important? And the politics of Iowa and the politics of New Hampshire sort of shaped the race, particularly Iowa, since it's the first, and it's such a evangelical hotbed. Can you imagine if the first state to have a primary was, for instance, Michigan this year, and how much the situation in Flint would play out in much bigger stages, or state of New York, California, Florida. We could tackle immigration head on early on without having it, the pushing back and kind of be in the periphery, or any state outside of these random states like New Hampshire and Iowa, which ordinarily aren't as important. To me, Iowa has too much influence. Can you imagine what the GOP would have to do, how they would have to discuss many different kinds of topics if the first state was, really any state, but let's say the first state was New York or Massachusetts or Virginia, in which there are a number of topics that can be discussed, but it isn't always so led by evangelicals. So the GOP would have to come in differently. They couldn't come in with all this nonsense in the same way. It would not only would it impact the actual race, but I bet it would impact who would even consider running. You know, it encourages certain people to run, knowing that if they get that first win, or at the very least come in second or third, then it sets them up lovely for the next one in New Hampshire and sets them up even better going forward with South Carolina and Nevada, which are the next two. You see what I'm saying?
I agree with what you're saying.
You know, I mean, what Iowa does what exactly? Corn, right? Corn. Iowa's like a big farm state.
Right. They are a big farm state.
Which is fine. But
and I guess big athletics, maybe. Are they into basketball or
not really
sport?
Not really. I mean, there are guys from that state who play in the league.
Just a bunch of corn fed people who
play
sports.
Well, they're not all, like, you know, there are a couple of guys in the NBA from Iowa and a couple of guys from the NFL. Probably most prominent, Harrison Barnes, who plays in the Warriors. He's from Iowa. And he's like straight from Iowa. He didn't like go to some kind of prep school in Iowa. No, he's like born and raised in Iowa. And Kirk Heinrich, who plays for the Bulls, Iowa. They're not really known for that many great sports exports.
So yeah, that's I guess the question that I have is the same that you have. Why I guess because they have the
this is my
the
producer
ideals.
Guys, by the way, I always forget to introduce her, but if you listen regularly, you know the voice.
I guess because they have these good American values, these good American
ideals. What are their values though?
I don't know. I guess whenever it started, I guess they figured this middle state, this big area out here, this is where, quote, Americans are, where it's truly, quote, American.
Well, you know,
I mean,
you know
Ted
what
Cruz
called...
already said New Yorkers, you know, it's too liberal here, so they wouldn't never do it here.
They could, though, you know, because it's not, I mean, New York State, it ain't that liberal.
Right. Because
go to Staten Island.
Right. He's just thinking New York City.
Well, right, right.
Like Albany, right. Rochester, Buffalo,
it's not
Syracuse.
That
come on.
It's liberal in Manhattan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The
Manhattan's
Bronx,
liberal.
South Bronx.
And Brooklyn, Manhattan, the Bronx, liberal. I guess sort of Queens and Staten Island, not so much. And Long Island, maybe mixed. But the rest of the state, you know, I don't know how liberal it really is. But the perception of, you know, the perception of New York and every other state has a certain way of being categorized. And Iowa and all those Midwest states, they are called, quote, the heartland, in which supposedly these people are somehow living a more righteous or pure or above board life. And because of that, they are able to make decisions on things in a better way. But I never found that to be true. You can see the research. You can read about stuff. You can see the things they value, how they poll, what they vote on, the issues that move them. You know, I just feel like there's no way a state in which the evangelicals are so powerful should be the first state every election cycle. It's not really a true representation of the whole nation as a whole. And it's a very archaic and sort of backwards way of doing it. Like you set off in Iowa. Guess what happens now? Everybody has to fall in line with what Iowans want. This population is way smaller than New York City for the whole state. And it's a farm state. And while farming is a important profession, there aren't that many farmers. You know, it's roughly 2% of the population are farmers. Like their level of influence is not what it should be ordinarily. But here we are every election cycle. So you turn on TV, they're in Ames, they're in Des Moines. Then whatever these random small towns are, and you have Marco Rubio and Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, et cetera, et cetera. They're giving these speeches and having these energetic moments and And I'm like, it's so fake. It's so trash. And we always have to sort of sift through this stuff and deal with this nonsense.
Of course, because I always have to know things. I mean, because there is a reason. I didn't get a clear reason, but I'm showing Khalid why it's first. And of course, good old NPR and Vox are quick with that whole information to let you know why things are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading the thing now. I mean, I, you know, basically after the 68 DNC convention, I'm sorry, after the 68 Democratic convention, when Chicago, when it had, you know, that was a, remember that whole thing? There was a, the whole world is watching the whole thing, mm-hmm. when there was riots and mm-hmm. a lot of police mm-hmm. presence by Mayor Daley at the time. And I guess they felt like Iowa would be, I don't know, I guess safer.
Just because they were out of it?
I don't know, man. Like,
they weren't in the whole movement.
It, you know,
it was not, they had no riots there because it was probably just.
No, it was probably just because of some other reasons that we aren't, you know, reasons unbeknownst to the average person. Like, right. you know, backdoor dealings and et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine, you know, but I'm like, you could have it there, but why can't it just, you know, rotate every once in a while? Like, it needs to be there every time? Like, what's really the, what's the point of that, really? Except to, in my opinion, weed out certain kind of politicians. So if you're not somebody who's really religious, won't you struggle there? Now, right now, you know, Bernie Sanders is trying to go against that narrative. Recently, he spoke about how his religion isn't something he wears on a sleeve, to which I thought was a mistake, honestly. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. why would you talk about that?
It doesn't matter if it's true. This religious. Is
you, like being true on something like that. I don't see the upside of it. I don't. Like, you need to try to win as much you can before all this stuff comes out, because it will come out anyway.
Right.
Like, people are going to figure it out that not only is he not Christian, which most people probably know, but he's not really a hardcore Jew. But he, you know, he's Jewish in a way in which
he celebrates the big holidays.
Right. Like, a lot of, he's religious in a way most, well, the not high most, holidays, but a lot of people are religious, but in a way in which he doesn't let it dominate his thought. And to me, that seems like the kind of thing, if I was a campaign manager, I'd be like, hey, man, we don't need to put that out there. That doesn't need to be front and center. Like, you're gonna lose some voters just off top, just off general purpose. And why would you want to do that?
Right. You're already going to lose people because you have
right. He has many things. Right. He has many things going against him as it is.
And he's really old.
Which people underestimate, even though Trump and Clinton and Sanders are all pretty much
within
the same
the
age.
Same yeah. age group. I mean, if anything, they would be classified as senior citizens.
They're all able to get Social Security if they so needed it.
Right.
They don't need it, but they're all eligible. They're all old. And generally in elections, nationally at least, older candidates tend to lose.
Right.
You know, if you go back in over many several election cycles outside of Reagan, the younger candidate usually does well because people just want to see the future. They don't want to see the past.
The thing, you know, though, I mean? With him being older, a lot of young people embrace his ideals, and he has a following with the young people.
Yeah, he does, and I think that's it's
even
interesting.
Even though he is old.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. I'm sure there are you know, think groups and politician you know, who are sitting around trying to figure this out. Like, what is his appeal amongst young people versus middle aged versus older people? Like, his core audience is certainly like under 45, and in many ways under 35.
Like a definite millennial.
Oh, absolutely.
Backing.
Like, if you're 25 and you're excited about this election, you're probably voting for Bernie Sanders.
Because you want to feel the burn.
Whatever that means. And I'm not even...
Right.
I haven't decided how I feel about this election yet, honestly. I think mostly because the buildup came so early. And I'm not really here for you know, talking about the election 2 years out. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have that kind of energy, stamina. Like, I need to deal with what's happening in the near future, not far away. But now that it's actually 2016 now, I'm kind of more immersed in it. I feel like, okay, let me get a little bit more familiar with all the candidates, even though I sort of know what I need to know about most of them. Certainly in the GOP, which, as I always mention to people, the fact that the GOP is a shit sandwich is a bad thing for democracy. It's not a good thing. I'm not a Democratic flag waver where I'm like, oh yes, the left is all good and the right sucks. To me, I wish the right was better, because it would make the process of everybody more fair. We'd be able to look at different candidates and measure them in a more specific way. The way it is now, I sort of paintbrushed the whole GOP, honestly. Because right. everything I found out, I'm like, man, I wish I didn't even know that. Like, the more you learn about them,
right,
the more you're turned off.
It doesn't
off.
Get better.
No, it doesn't.
You don't
doesn't.
Find any new information that makes you want to
you don't.
Vote.
They don't. They are a strange party. filled with backwards thinking, dangerous people, obsessive, strange. Just there are a dangerous lot of people, and their way of thinking is, to me, looking towards the past and not the future. And there's almost no way you could convince me to vote for anybody in the GOP. Like, I would say the best out of the bunch is probably Kasich. And I guess that's not saying that much. Like, I just feel like he's at least realistically, like, the things he say are at least feasible. I might not agree with them, but I'm like, we can sit down and at least kind of have a discussion. And maybe you could try to sway me. Maybe, you know, it probably wouldn't work, but I would at least sit down and see, okay, let me listen. The rest of them, we can't even sit down.
And he's managed to stay away from and out of the whole muck that's, you know, messed
because he
up
because he wasn't really considered a contender,
right?
Up until like really, really,
so they don't
recent.
Really take him seriously anyway. Because even his competitors don't even.
But he's polling a lot better now.
Him really.
Like, I think he was polling at 12% in Iowa, which, and you might say, well, 12%, that's not a lot. It's a lot when there's like 38 people running. And you got to cut it.
Right.
You got to cut up the pie a lot
mm-hmm,
of ways. Because
mm-hmm.
previously he was like in the single digits, you know, and so he's like maybe third or fourth, I believe, in polling. And I'm sure for his team, if he were to come in third or fourth in Iowa, that would be a big win for Kasich. Like nobody, I mean, he didn't come out of nowhere, quote unquote. But he was certainly on the periphery, you know, and not in the main spotlight. And he's been able to at least position himself as an alternative to the craziness of the rest of the people. Because
when you look at the others, it's just like...
It's just a strange group of people.
You just really have a frown face. Just like, really? This is the best that you guys have
it,
to
it should,
offer?
It should be, honestly, a cakewalk for whoever runs on the Democratic Party, but will it be Hillary or Bernie? That really depends on how much of a cakewalk it is. Because the truth of the matter is,
you don't even think of O'Malley.
Nah, he's polling in single digits, man.
Yeah,
you know he's what's the guy from The Wire? Carchetti.
Carchetti.
Yeah, that's what he is. Mm-hmm. Former mayor of Baltimore, then become the mayor, the governor of Maryland, and he sort of, you know, he has a very cookie cutter kind of thing. Like if I was casting a movie, he could be in that movie of the president.
Right.
Because
he does have the look.
He has, but it's like, but we don't, this cycle doesn't want that.
No.
We don't want the look. We want something else.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is he hasn't had a lot of dynamic moments.
Mm-mm. He hasn't done anything to propel him above the others.
He hasn't. And the truth of the matter is, as a former governor, that should help him against two senators. And as a younger person, it should help him both above people who are at least 15 years older. I'm not sure how old he is. He's somewhere in his 50s, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Sanders is 73, 74. Hillary is 69, I believe. Like, he's way younger than them. He's from a different generation from them, basically. Mm-hmm. And those two things should help him. But it has not. And I don't know if that's because of what happened in Baltimore last year and just him being affiliated with the past of Baltimore. You know, he put some laws into effect that weren't so great. And I don't know if what happened in Baltimore last year, you know, put a dark light on him, or if the fact is he's just not really good at being a candidate, which I sort of think it might be the latter, because the truth of the matter is when he talks, I look for the remote. I'm like, I don't give a fuck what he has to say.
He's
just so regular.
He's not compelling. He doesn't move me. He's just very...
I'm like
cookie cutter, as you said.
And I'm
like,
how much money does he have in his campaign fund? Like, he can just keep running like this? It costs money to keep a campaign running. He's not going to win, obviously. He's not even in double digits.
Right.
He's been in like 5% and 3% for the whole time. I'm like, is he just running just to get his name out there so he could be maybe a vice president, you know, a potential person?
A cabinet member or something?
I don't know what he's doing. I'm like, yo, what's the deal with this dude? Because he should be doing better against... Because as we all know, HRC, baggage on top of baggage. She's a bag
and
lady. She's a bag lady. You
and
understand?
They keep on pulling it out.
She's an Erykah Badu level bag lady.
She is. And like, they, I mean, just the other day, they had another article about these emails and that there was apparently some top secret information in there in correspondence with POTUS. And it's just like, y'all ain't going to give up.
I mean, and the thing is, there are people who just don't like her off top based off her attitude, her persona.
But what did Christie say in a debate? He said, the Clintons have, we've had enough of the Clintons living off public housing. I laughed. I don't like Christie, but
it was funny.
It made me chuckle.
Chris Christie's funny. He's a dick, but he's funny.
Right.
Yeah, that's a funny thing to say. I admit that. It's just hard for a lot of people to take her seriously because she has so much, like, she has just natural hate. Like, people respond to her like they respond to, like, a roach. You know, you see her, you're like, oh.
Damn.
You know what I mean? That's how people respond to her.
Like, another one.
Like, oh, right. Like, oh. And I'm like.
Thought I got rid of you.
It doesn't matter what she, you know, it doesn't matter what her resume says. Because she has a good resume. We can't front. Anybody who served as Secretary of State has a good resume. And, you know, but she has baggage. And a lot of that is, you know, some of the crime bills that her husband passed in the 90s. And, you know, that lingers. And you know, and then a lot of people, particularly some women, you hear them talk about the how they feel about her in regards to her husband's extracurricular stuff, which is unfair, no question. But those people don't seem to care about that, and people think she's mean, just off again, like simple things, like things that aren't
like
real.
Mean, right. I mean, if she were a man,
doesn't matter.
It wouldn't be she's mean.
You're right, but. There are those kind of the intangible, like the natural is powerful with her. People just automatically don't like her for any number of reasons.
Right.
And it makes her not a quote likable candidate. And she's made it worse by not really being the best campaign candidate. Like maybe she's great in office, but running for office, she struggles because she comes off as sort of robotic. And she's sort of the opposite of Sanders, who comes off as very legitimately who he is and real. People see Hillary and they say, she'll do whatever it takes to win. And I'm like, that's
fine. She will.
That's fine. And that's most politicians.
I mean, she's a career.
She's a professional politician.
Politician. That's what she is.
You know, like, this is what she does. Like, this is, you know, granted, yeah, she didn't always have an official job, quote unquote, when she was, right. You know, she was just the first lady, but she was a very political first
she
lady.
She was able to maneuver herself Absolutely. Into doing other things.
Absolutely.
But it's also, she's willing to say or do anything to make it so that people would want to vote for her, even if it's against everything she stands for.
Yeah, people think she's a shyster because of that.
Yeah,
and I'm
because
like,
she flip-flops.
She might be.
But that's what a lot of politicians do.
A lot of politicians are shysters.
That's what they do.
People think she's a shyster.
You want gay marriage?
And they don't trust her. Right.
Y'all can get gay married.
And so all the, and then like, you know, Benghazi still elicits the responses and people, oh, and people don't even know, people can't even spell Benghazi.
Right.
But they hate it and they hate her
because
they don't
of
know.
It.
Right.
I mean, they bring it up
constantly. I'm like, yo, what are you talking about? And then of course this email stuff and not just the stuff from a few weeks and months ago, but the stuff that happened recently, like as far as like Friday. And I'm like, yo, and yes, did that come out strategically at a perfect time before
of
the, I mean, of course, whoever was in charge of that being out there is sitting back like, yes,
right.
Crown me.
Give me my bonus.
Cause I did what I was supposed to do. And
I had one job and I did it.
Right. And whether that's a Bernie Sanders acolyte or somebody from the right or somebody who just doesn't like Hillary for any number of reasons, or just somebody who knows it's out there. And if you're somebody on the fence, in Iowa, in New Hampshire, if you're somebody on the fence who's like, I don't know, that might sway you to get off her side and go on Bernie Sanders' side. Now, the thing with Bernie Sanders is he has those same kind of natural reaction negatives.
Right.
He says off top.
I mean, just once they pick a nominee, the shit is going to fly.
Oh, God, it is. Yeah, because he says off top, yeah, I have a socialist background. Socialism, I'm okay with that. Like, for a lot of people. Like, he's just like,
right.
What? And for a lot of people, particularly old people, because if you're 40 and under, honestly, or 45 and under or whatever, I don't know what the magic number is, but the word socialism, particularly if you're young, if you're in your 30s or 20s, especially, I mean, people in their 40s, we kind of understand that word, but young folks, what is socialism to them? They don't really know, but old people 55, 65,
they remember history.
It means something to them because. Right. It's attached to their childhood and the fear of what that word meant mm-hmm. as far as destruction of democracy, et cetera, et cetera.
And if you're wealthy.
Right.
It means.
Right.
It means shit for you.
And if
you don't want it.
And if you're wealthy and old, which is a demographic that votes a lot, by the way. Like, that's probably, that's one of the most consistent voting voting blocks, rich slash old people, and also rich and also old. Like, those three categories of people tend to vote in large numbers. Mm-hmm. A socialist is pretty much a deal breaker for a lot of people. Now, he might make some moves in certain liberal enclaves. You know, he might do okay in Portland. You know, he might do okay in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. Socialists in Kansas, Nebraska, the whole South, basically. Like, go to a southern state and see where Bernie Sanders polls at. His numbers are much lower than they are in other parts of the country. And because socialism is basically something considered to be anti-American, even if people, if you ask them, write down what you think socialism means in a paragraph, they really probably couldn't write it down. But it doesn't matter because, again, as we always say, voting isn't always based on science, logic, or information. It's just based on how you feel and your fear of that thing. And to which I always say, and you know, I've said this before, and I tend to not say it in public, but I'm going to say it this time because I feel like it's true. And I wish we could start this. I think there should be. I feel like there should be some kind of a literacy test for voting.
They did
that. Now, And I know when I say that, people say, if that was a true thing, guess who will be hurt the most?
Exactly.
I know who will be hurt the most. You don't have to tell me. I know who will be hurt the most. People who look like me. I understand. I get it. I know. Or if not the most, we be hurt a lot, because you know, being disenfranchised and having your voting rights taken away to some level has been going on in recent years. As it is, I know this. What I'm saying is, it's a bigger picture.
But you know, you're not the only one, because I saw somebody who's very liberal tweet that the other day.
Who?
I think it was.
I should follow that person.
I think I sent you the tweet. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was Dean Obidala. And I don't know if he was being sarcastic or not.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
I don't know if he was being, I was like, hey, you're not the only one who thinks like this. And that troubles me.
It's controversial because, you know, people understand what that means. We've had that in this country, like large segments of the population,
right.
i.e.
Black
not,
folks.
Not white and male, for many years couldn't vote. Many years. And, I realized, coming from a black man, how that sounds, and some folks might be like, you know, what's wrong with you? Or, you know, I might get a lot of pushback on Twitter. And to that I say, think about it, though. Just think for a second. I'm not saying the test would have to be crazy hard. I'm saying just a basic base level. Like, I need you to be able to, you know, name the capitals of all 50 states, or, you know, tell me about a law. It doesn't have to be a recent law, any law, or law over the last 100 years or whatever that you felt was important, or anything, whatever. Like, we'd figure it out. We'd sit down, and then of course people would say, well, who would make up the test questions? Who would decide? Who would manage that? Because it would be biased depending on who did it. You're right. I'm gonna say, I don't have all the answers written down and figured out. I'm saying I wish we could start this conversation and maybe that could be a real thing, because we allow people without information, without facts, without nuance, who just don't know enough about what's happening in the world, to vote. And their nonsense affects me.
Right. Now, I mean, I get what you're saying with that, because, I mean, people vote against their own self-interest
all the time
only because they are within a certain party. So they think that,
On both sides, and by the way.
And it's like, wait, but this benefits you. This benefits your family. You kind of need this. And yet, they still vote against it.
Like, I'm just tired of living with that stupid thing as being on the table. There's too much responsibility given to people who don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. Like, prove that, you got a register to vote, fine. Prove that you're an actual citizen. Like, we can't have some kind of civics test. That would be so bad. That'd be so bad. Like, if you can't pass it, you can retest. You can retake it. Like, my thing is, you can just retake the test over and over again. There wouldn't be any limits on how many times you could take it. But you have to pass it. And if you pass it, then you can vote. And so at least you're coming in to an election. And I don't, and that's not just, I mean, federal, state, city, whatever. You need to be able to identify some laws and that passed recently and talk about them. You need to be able to do some things that are real instead of you saying, I'm not voting for so-and-so because I don't like them, or I'm voting for so-and-so because I do like them, or because that person's in my same religion, or whatever, whatever. Like, this is not, that's not good enough.
Right, this is not high school. You're right. Not voting for student body
right.
president.
Right, This is not the prom king and the prom queen or whatever. Like, it's too important to be throwing these votes away. We just throw votes away. And I'm like, we need to have a test, a literacy test. Now, I'm fine with that. You don't like it? I don't care. I'm okay. I didn't want to say this in public because I was like, maybe it's too much. People don't understand, but if they don't get it, they wouldn't be voting anyway, probably. They couldn't pass the test anyway. So that's that. Boom. All right, that's it. That's it on this because I don't want to start getting too crazy. I'm going to start naming names of people I don't like who I think shouldn't be able to vote. And maybe I will do that at some point. I mean, the thing is, I'm like, that person shouldn't be able to vote. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't, you know. So I'll stop here. And we'll pick up after the break with the Super Bowl. This is Rebel Without Applause. We'll be right back. A new world hang
outside the window. Follow Khalid on Twitter at Mr. Khalid S.
Welcome back. Rebel Without Applause. Super Bowl week is here. You know, last week was sort of the precursor. This is a crazy week when the media stuff happens and you'll see people giving interviews at actual, like the Super Bowl media days and always on that Tuesday. You know, all the crazy questions and the weird questions happen this week. And, you know, it's fun. We'll laugh about it. It'll be something funny like it is always every year. Carolina and Denver. And when the year started, I had a repeat last year. I had New England, Seattle. I didn't think there was any way that those two teams wouldn't return to the Super Bowl. And so I'm surprised to see, honestly, both of these teams, to be honest. Certainly Carolina. I didn't think Carolina had enough offensively in the skill position to make it back. Or, I'm sorry, not to make it back, but to make it to the Super Bowl. I thought they'd be in the playoffs again, but being in the playoffs and being a Super Bowl, obviously different. So, you know, definitely claps to them. Congrats to all Panthers fans. Although I will say there are a lot of bandwagon Panther fans. And I actually know a few personally. And they were Eagles fans up until, like, Thanksgiving. And they said, they were like, I'm out. I'm done with this. I'm like, you just can't jump off the team. It doesn't work like that. But that's cool. I won't shit on them here. But I might shit on them on Twitter. Because, you know, some of them go crazy. They're both black women, by the way. And I feel like their energy for rooting for Carolina has shady motives. I'm like, do you really like Carolina?
What are you saying?
Do you like Luke Kuechly? Do you like Luke Kuechly? You know what I mean? Do you like Thomas Davis? You know what I mean? You like Michael Orr? Let's be honest here. Well, or you like Cam Newton? And do you like how he plays? We like him in his tight shirts. Because I think it's more of that. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But I'm saying it ain't professionally cool as a fan. It ain't like fan worthy. And those two people I'm talking about, they're like legitimate fans, I thought. But I'm like, hey, you know, I guess, you know, people like who they like for different reasons. But I mean, come on, man. You can't just automatically be a Panthers fan. I got texts like, yo, Panthers Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? Why are you texting me this? Like, I don't care about the Panthers being the Super Bowl. I'm not a Panthers fan. Everybody assumes that I'm rooting for the Panthers because of Newton, and I'm sort of indifferent to both teams. Like I like Peyton, but I don't care about the Broncos. I like Cam Newton, but I don't care about the Panthers. And I'm not even like I'm indifferent. Like it ain't like I'm like, oh, Cam Newton's one of my favorite players. Cam is a great player, but as the Eagles fan, you know, I you know, I don't know. It's like my team first, and then there's certain teams I like. You know, Seattle was a team I very much liked for a lot, because I like a lot of the players. Green Bay, because I like Aaron Rodgers, et cetera, et cetera. So usually I have a strong rooting interest. This year, though, I'm going to sit back and I'm like, hey, whoever wins, wins. The only benefit to rooting for the Panthers is that the people who hate the Panthers tend to hate Cam Newton. And to see those people end up being salty is kind of a benefit. It's like a side, like, yes, like, good. You know, so I want those people to be sad. But it doesn't really make me happy if the Panthers win. I don't really care. But to see the negative people be shut up, so to speak, that's an added bonus. And I'm willing to admit that that's okay. So when the game starts on Sunday, that may influence me. We'll see. We have a whole week to figure it out. But I may be influenced by that one thing. To see haters be shut up is always good.
I agree.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's wonderful.
I mean, why not?
And, you know, I mean, all the...
Like, because they're going to be mad because folks stay mad. Haters, just be mad.
Haters have to hate. They wake up in the morning and they clock in. They're hating.
Right.
They clock in. It's like a job. Click, click.
It is.
And they're just hating for 8 hours.
It's like their vitamin. It gives them
they
nutrition.
Hate for 8 hours and clock out. I'm like, you guys just professionally hate? Like, who has this much negativity?
Like, I can't hate things that don't give me any life.
I mean, like,
I just don't care.
Like, I can see if you're a Falcons or a Saints fan, if you're a fan of a team that's in the Panthers division, okay, fine. But for the rest of us, I mean, come on, the Panthers aren't that hateable, you know? Oh, Cam Newton, he's too this, that, and the other. I was like, man, is he really the worst person in the NFL? He's not even close. Not even close. Is he the worst person in sports? It's not even close. But, you know, he gets a lot of stuff. And so last week, and you know, I mostly stayed away from that. I didn't get on Twitter talking about what was happening in the general conversation because I just like, this is just dumb. And I'm not going to get into it too much here, but I will say this one thing. The differences between what people consider to be Cam's culture and what they consider to be, I guess, American culture. I mean, it's an issue that spreads out in many areas. It isn't just about sports or what's appropriate. It's about how we value other people and what they value. And, you know, it's when people say they don't like when Cam dances, they're not saying they don't like how Cam dances. They're saying they don't like black folks
being happy,
being proud, having their back straight and their shoulders, you know, up in their fucking neck and their jaw arch. Like, any kind of sense of pride bothers them.
Like, how dare you?
And I'm like, that is a silly, ridiculous thing that you need to deal with yourself. That's your issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's your issue. That's your weak-ass mind that to you.
When I see it on Twitter, I'm always amazed. Growing up, I was not watching football, but I remember seeing people do a celebratory dance all the time. So much that they had to ban it at one point, right? They had to put some rules
or
something.
You couldn't, like, if you scored a touchdown, you couldn't, like, have an elaborate group dance.
He didn't start it.
And people are like, well, you know, he plays a quarterback and he's a black guy, so that's some of the negativity. I was like, we've had a black quarterback in the Super Bowl for the last 4 years, by the way. Him this year, Wilson the last two, and then Kaepernick before that. So, And then some people said, well, Russell Wilson, a different kind of black than Cam is. To which that offended me, actually, because I feel like whatever kind of black Russell Wilson is, it's a black that I'm okay with.
Right.
And the kind of black that Newton is, I'm also okay with. Like, I don't see the big difference between their kind of blacks, honestly.
Right.
Whatever that means, they're blacks, quote unquote. I'm like, well, I don't understand how we're...
You know, those blacks over there.
Right. Like, I mean, I know what they're meaning. They're, you know,
yeah.
They're basically saying that Cam Newton's a Fresh Prince and Wilson is Carlton. You know what I mean? That's what they're basically sort of saying.
And Carlton had to let folks know, too. Don't ever
remember that episode?
My blackness.
Yeah, when they went to that.
I might wear this.
They went to that. It was a frat. It was a frat, right? Yeah, right.
It was like the black of the black.
Yes. alpha black.
Black of the black of the black.
Right. And I'm like, you know. And I think that's just
ridiculous.
Because why be in this bubble? Why compartmentalize yourself like this? Why fall for those old tricks? Those are the old tricks that we left behind years ago. I thought we need to. I thought we moved past that kind of stuff. Well, there's only some kind of okay blacks, and Russell Wilson now he ain't really black. I'm like, first of all, him and Newton the same complexion. Number one.
Number one.
So we can't even do that dark skin, light skin thing. They're the same complexion, number one. They're both from the South, number two. Wilson's from Virginia, Cam's from Atlanta. So then, like, they're...
Some people are extroverted. Some people are introverted. Some people are just want to just, celebrate in front of the television.
It's like, well, you know, people
some
think,
people celebrate inside.
People think, like, Russell Wilson's, like, he's smoothed out and it's phony and he tries to act like that to appease white folks. I'm like, I think Russell Wilson is just like that.
Right.
He's just that way.
Maybe he's just quiet.
But he's not even that quiet, really. He's just.
Well, we did see him singing some sexy song during for karaoke.
Hey, man.
We know that he got it. We know he has it.
Speaking of that, the other day when he had that poem or that whatever it was to Ciara.
Yeah, people were upset.
And I'm like, let me tell you something.
Then people get upset about the dumbest shit.
Let me tell the jokers out there who had beef with that. And I know a few of them. And I followed them. We're cool. But I was like, come on, fam. If you were going home to Ciara, you would write all kinds of things because you would be excited about going home to her. That's number one. Number two, okay, yeah, he got off the internet and stole it. He ain't the first one.
He
ain't the
last
one. So I'm like, yo, what is this? People are like, well, he's corny. I was like, he just saying he likes his girl. Like, is that really corny?
Right. Everybody's like, not a damn poet, like, or Hallmark writer.
But people are like, well, you know, he's gushing all over her. He's so.
And?
I'm like, so what exactly? Like, what exactly is wrong with that?
Well, the thing is, you damned if you do, you damned if you don't. Because.
He supposed to just thug her out?
Right.
What he supposed to do?
They want him to talk smack like Future was talking about her.
It's like, strange. It's strange.
It's so crazy to me. And it's like, why do you guys care?
Sometimes people are uncomfortable with levels of affection. And I don't know if that's a black love thing. Or just the how men view love, period, thing. I don't know. But it is something I certainly have beef with. And I'm like, if everybody's different, but if you see somebody who's really overboard and gushing, and that's his girl, and he just wants her to know, and blah, blah, that shouldn't make you should not be intimidated by that.
Right.
Then that should go right off your shoulder, like, boom, that's nothing.
You should just
that should be
see
nothing
it,
to you.
Like it or don't like it and move the hell on because it has nothing to do with you.
Right. Now, as far as the game itself, because that's my main concern, obviously, this is really going to be, I think, a defensive game. I don't see that much scoring. Like, Denver puts a good amount of pressure on quarterbacks, and they have a very strong secondary, meaning if Cam drops back and looks to pass, and granted, they don't have great receivers, but Cam's ability has elevated that whole receiving staff. However, there are limits to that. And I can't live in a world in which I look at their receiving staff and see guys like Ted Ginn Jr. And I'm like, is Ted Ginn Jr. and guys like Jericho Cotchery really, really, really going to be difference makers in the Super Bowl against what is a really strong Denver secondary? I honestly don't see that. I see Carolina's running game being how they'll score. And Greg Olsen in the flat up the seam as, you know, he's having a hellified season. And he's become one of the best tight ends in the league. And Greg Olsen is a hard match for a lot of players. But, you know, the thing is, guys like T.J. Ward, like, Denver has a secondary that can stay with him and stay with anybody that Carolina has. On the other side, Peyton Manning got to get rid of the ball fast. And his receivers can drop it, which they have a tendency to do. Because Carolina's, I mean, their linebacking core tackles well. Their linemen come strong. Guys like Short, those guys do not play any kind of games. They will get up in you. So I don't see a lot of scoring. Like it could easily be 24, 21, 21, 17, 27, 20, you know, like they won't go over, the winning team won't score 30 points. And it might not even be that much. It'll be a defensive kind of game. it's hard to say who would win. I feel like, I don't know. See, Thomas Davis, one of the stud linebackers for Carolina, he hurt his arm or his shoulder. I can't remember right now. And he said he's going to play. But him saying he's going to play doesn't mean he's going to play every quarter, every snap, et cetera, et cetera. And if he does play, doesn't mean he's going to play well. And he's one of the top five players, you know, him, Kuechly, Newton, et cetera, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, those guys, they need him. If they're going to beat Denver, they need him. So I kind of think that Denver could win, except that Peyton's arm is so diminished. And offensively, he can be solved because, you know, he can't make all the throws on the field, meaning you don't have to guard every part of the field. And that plays into the hands of the Carolina's very, very good defense. So it's kind of a hard, it's kind of a tricky matchup. But honestly, if you said to me, Khalid, put $100 on this game, I gotta go with Carolina. Because the one thing that Carolina has is that Newton is really an X factor. Because he has an incredible ability to move the ball, whether by his arm or his legs. And in close games, when you need first downs to get in position to score, whether it's a touchdown or a field goal, you know, fourth and one, et cetera, et cetera, Cam Newton probably able to get that first down in a lot more ways than Peyton. You know, this version of Peyton's my age. And I'm not old, but I'm old for football. And his body ain't what it used to be. I mean, for God's sake, Peyton had neck surgery 4 years ago. And there's no way that he could just be regular after that. He's been able to still have a lot of ability, but his arm strength has gone down. And we've all seen it. He throws some ducks out there. He throws ducks. So, yeah, I got Carolina. I don't have a score. I don't know what the score will be, but I got Carolina winning, which is would be surprising, but they're the better team, and they should win. It'll be close, but they should win. And per the usual, you know, it should be a good game. We haven't had a bad Super Bowl in a while. Everyone has been pretty good in recent memory, and I expect another good game. It should be a close game. I don't have a final score prediction because what's the point of doing that, but I can't imagine. I just can't see a way in which it wouldn't be a good game because both teams are good defensively. And try to keep the numbers down. It won't be too high scoring. So Carolina for the win. That's what I got. And that's it for this episode of Rebel Without Applause. As usual, you can always follow me on Twitter at Mr. Khalid. That's MRKHALIDS. Thank you for listening. Peace. Yeah, I got enemies, got a lot of enemies, got a lot of people trying to drain me of the